This is Ahmed Johnson. You listen live and in color with Wolfie D.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D. From his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again, live and in color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. And today, man, what a show, Jimmy. When I called you with this one, kind of think I surprised you a little bit with this one.
Dude, you absolutely did. I actually did not. I was like, no way. It's not going to happen. There's no way. And you were like, I think it might. And I'm like, how sure? And you're like, I think it might. And I'm like, okay, I trust you. And then like a couple hours later, hey, we got Ahmed this day and it's all good. We got this day at this time and it was good, man.
It'll be cool, man, because legitimately, I have not talked to him since, you know, WrestleMania 13, probably. I haven't seen him. I haven't talked to him. And we just kind of quickly touched base on Facebook. And then I had to go through a couple other avenues due to, you know, some contract obligations he has and stuff like that. So
sure,
went those avenues and, you know, cut a hole in a couple of fences and snuck on in.
Okay. So when was the last time you saw Ahmed? Was it when he was throwing you over or when you were on his shoulders?
Probably on his shoulders. Probably so. Yeah.
Man, that was awesome, right? I mean, you know, that was a rough fall though, because he didn't really. Yeah. I can't wait to hear you talk to him about that, man.
Oh, I'm going to give him hell about it. But that's going to be the fun part. I can't wait to get into this, man, you know?
Yeah, I know, man. And the fun part about it is, you know, we've had some great shows here recently, man. We've really had some good stuff. Last week, of course, just to go back in the past just a minute, we had the dirty white boy, Tony Anthony. And we are getting consistent messages from all of our social media platforms. Nice. And that is at Live Wolfie D, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, on all of them. People are saying that is my new favorite episode, you know. So some people are saying they love the Jamie episodes the most. Some people say Tony Falk. Some people say Steve Kern. Some people say, you know, top tens, whatever. Mm-hmm. But so many people are saying the Dirty White Boy is their new favorite. And so, maybe we can top it with Ahmed though, because dude, you know.
Yeah. I can't wait, man. Matter of fact, man, let's get on with the show.
Let's get it. All right. We'll be right back. After these messages.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live. Only on Netflix.
Hey, folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/LiveWolfieD. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, folks, we're back. And I'm super, super excited to have my next guest coming on with us, man. This is the dude. Now, I don't know if he knows that he's responsible for this, but the one time, Jimmy, that I made the cover of the WWF magazine is all because of our next guest, because there's a big old picture of him on there, and then a little bitty square, there's me and Jamie doing the nation symbol, the fist in the air thing. So he's responsible for this, so I guess I should thank him. Ahmed Johnson, man, what's going on?
Hey, nothing much, brother.
Man, honor and a privilege to have you on, man, and great to hear your voice, man. Been like,
I'm glad to be on.
Minutes ago. WrestleMania 13, 1997 is honestly the last time I've seen or spoken to you.
Right.
It's been quite a while, man, and I got some memories from that, and we'll talk about it and talk about a whole bunch of other stuff. But what's going on with you these days, man?
Not much, man. Just sitting here chilling.
Yeah.
I used to work for an oil company called Dresseran. Uh-huh. That was, you know, made a real good living doing that. So yeah, I'm able to sit back down and chill out in my old age, man.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I ain't been in the ring in a while. I got too many physical issues going on to be doing all that.
Exactly. No, I ain't going back to the ring. They keep asking me when I'm coming back. When you gonna make an appearance? That ain't happening, Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't mind sitting there 60, signing man. Autographs. Yes, I saw that you were 60. I saw that you were 60. And I'll be 50 this year, man. Believe that. Hey, little rappers to annoy the shit out of you are about to be 50. Jamie's over 50 now because he's a couple years older than me.
But you know what I always thought, man? I always wondered and I always thought they should have brought you guys as PG-13 and you have your own tag team.
Amen.
A separate from the nation because you guys were that good, man, of tag team.
Man, I appreciate you saying that. And I think that was the plan, but as you probably remember, man, we didn't do ourselves any favors on the outside. not taking it serious. Like, seriously, man, like we were just having fun. Wrestling was just second nature to both of us. And we didn't get in the ring before the shows and work out and, you know, stuff like that, man, because it was riding a bike for us, man. And I think people took that the wrong way. It wasn't because we thought we were better. I just knew I had a bump card and I wasn't trying to go out there and use it before the show.
You ain't lying. I understand that.
But I think that was the plan, and I appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, they should have, man. You guys would have been a hell of a tag team in WWF.
Well, they replaced this with Too Cool, I guess.
Oh, man.
It's kind of a PG-13 gimmick there, man. Yeah. So let's talk about, man, and I know you've talked about this 100 times, and I was there, so I saw it, all the back and forth with you and Ron, and why couldn't you two get along? What was the deal?
I don't know. I think, you know, Wolfie, I think we were too much alike, man.
Yeah.
You know, you say two people that are alike, don't get along. I think we were too much alike.
Two big, strong alpha males.
Yeah, and two brutal people in the ring. Fruit was brutal, too. And you're talking about my shooting. Fruit was a shooter, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, and you took that bump from Fruit. That bump didn't feel good at all, man. I took it once, and that didn't feel
Which
good.
Which one?
That one where he threw you over his shoulder and his finish move.
Oh, the Dominator.
He slammed you down the mat. Yeah, Dominator wasn't a joke, man.
Oh, I don't.
Yeah, know. And think, man, just the strength of him, man, picking you up and doing that.
Yeah.
<It's> like, and I'm exactly. sure you ain't been picked up and handled like that too many times, I would imagine.
No, I didn't get it one time. That was it for me.
No more of that.
Yeah, but you were one of the guys that could say no, actually, too. You know, you'd be like, no more.
Yeah.
No more, Ron. A lot of guys couldn't do that, you know.
So my good one, that was it.
Yeah.
But in my mind, it was just, and I know it was probably frustrating for both of you guys, but to me, like at the time, it was kind of comical, you know, to just, I knew that every day almost that we show up and y'all were doing something together, there would be some kind of back and forth. We're not doing
that
this.
Was every day,
that,
wasn't it?
Doing this, doing that.
Every day we were doing something together.
Yeah.
Funny stuff, man.
Did you notice how when I left, how the nation just fell apart?
Oh, yeah.
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 Did you ever think about that? When I left, the nation just fell apart. Little nation domination. And who can know? I mean, I was caring the nation, man. Not caring as far as, you know, something the wrestling goes, but caring as far as the gimmick goes.
Mm-hmm. And that was after we left. Yeah, after we left, it was after that. Yeah, and then Rocky.
Yeah, they jumped me. That didn't make sense. They jumped me and put me in the group, and then Vince. See how that happened? Vince called us to the office, the whole nation, and he's like, "Guys, you know, I want to see something." He said, first of all, let me tell you, so I'm at your Alpha Nation, and I'm like, "I'm Alpha Nation. You just put me in the nation a few weeks ago." He said, "Well, I need your Alpha Nation." He said, let me tell you why. Let me show you the video. And he had a videotape of us coming down the ramp. And it was me, Kama, Mark Henry, Farouk, and D-Lo. And we come down the ramp. Right. And he said, who am I going to get to believe that y'all can be beat? And then it made sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that was too many powerhouses in one group, man.
Yeah, it was kind of lopsided for sure.
Yeah.
Definitely. But man, hey, listen, so I've said this on record, and we've got to laugh about it now, is people ask me, you know, about being in the Nation and what it was, you know, Ahmed Johnson, blah, blah, blah. So I tell them, I said, he almost killed me twice. And it's all in a fun. I don't mean literally killed me, but I say he almost killed me twice. I'm going to tell you, you might remember. So Royal Rumble, 1997, I think you worked for Farouk in a singles. And I think y'all went about 10 minutes or something like that. Then at the end of it, the finish was like a DQ or some shit. And at the end, everybody's on the floor except for me. And I wind up in the ring with you and something like you got my clothesline. And then you pick me up for the press slam. And you're going to go throw me over the top. And I tell everybody, I said, I didn't weigh 220 at the time. I said, he had to be blowed up because he never got me fully extended. And when he threw me, my feet caught the top rope and I tumbled. And thank God D'Lo and them were there to catch me or he'd have killed me. So,
brother, you're right. I was blowed up. And I'm like, damn, I got to get Wolfie up in the air and get him over the top rope. But I was trying my best, Wolfie. I really did, man.
And that's the thing. I've seen you pick up Triple H and repetition him over your head like three times.
Exactly.
And then you go to pick my little ass up and you're just tired. You're like, fucking.
I was blown, brother. I can tell you right now. Be honest, I was
it's
blown.
Funny because it didn't hurt and I didn't get injured or anything. But it's funny when people ask me that. I always tell them that story. I say, hey, some bitch about killed me twice. Here's number two. And it was my WrestleMania moment. Okay. You remember when y'all did the double doomsday device on us?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. When Arena Road Warriors did it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was on. So here's the deal. Okay. Jamie gets the long stick. I get the short stick because now he gets on Animal's shoulders. He's also set up on the side that Hawk usually does it from, on his right arm. Now, Animal has, he's the one that's thrown people off his shoulders for 15 years before that. I get on your shoulders. You probably never did the move before.
No, never.
And then Hawk's coming at me with his left arm. So I got you and Hawk's left arm. So when the bump comes and you don't know to push me, so I'm trying to flip myself and I'm getting Hawk's weak arm. So I didn't rotate all the way over. I kind of landed on my shoulder and my head, but it didn't, at the time it didn't hurt. I didn't get injured, but that was the second time I tell everybody Ahmed Johnson about killed me.
Yeah, bro. I didn't even know. I didn't know that move at all. I was just like, was I supposed to push you or what the deal was? So I just let you do it on your own.
Yeah.
I said, shit, Jamie takes bumps real good.
I didn't do too good on my own.
Yeah, I said, Wolfie takes bumps good, but I'm just going to let him bump himself.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the confidence. Man, so tell me, man, the Road Warriors were my fucking heroes, man. And I don't remember.
Yes.
Did you get along with them?
Me and Hawk got along real good.
Yeah.
Not Animal.
It's hard not to get along with Hawk. He was so cool.
Yeah. I mean, he's
Ohio. What was the issue there, do you think?
Treatment Animal? I think he didn't like it because people didn't know, nobody knows this, but me and Hawk was doing little independent shows outside of WWF. Uh-huh. And he wanted me to do them with him, not Animal. So I was the one that had it was me and Hawk. Yeah. It was me and Hawk, not me and Animal.
Wow.
And he didn't like that too much.
That makes sense, though, because they had that little tiff. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, they did. And then you were moving in on his girl, man. That wasn't cool.
Who that?
taking his partner.
Now, you know, obviously they end up teaming up with Draws, but I know you were on a different trajectory in the company than Draws was. And honestly, right. I feel like you are one of the top five guys to have never won the big title that should have. Like you, Roddy Piper, and several other guys are kind of those guys that were like, why did he not have the belt? But we'll get to that in a minute. I'm curious, was there ever talk of maybe forming that trio with you and the Road Warriors as like an official thing, like they did with Draws? Or was this just a storyline needed deal that put y'all together?
I think this is a storyline deal that put us together.
Okay. Okay.
Vince wanted to see us all together. You know, all of us kind of built alike, and he's right. Once he was all together. So, yeah, I think it's a storyline.
Okay, gotcha.
It may have been the other way around, too. Maybe that's what was pissing Adam off. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, you look like a road warrior. You know what I mean? So.
Yes.
I mean, you kind of had the colors they wore, and I mean, it was just kind of, you were jacked up like they were, too. So, I mean, it kind of made sense. But I just know where they added draws later on, and, you know, of course, rest in peace draws. But with that going on, I just didn't know if maybe they'd ever talked about actually making you an official member of the team. Okay. Okay, cool. Well, while we're talking about it, and I brought that up a little bit ago, but I do want to talk about this. Now, you are kind of one of those guys that I think a lot of folks consider that, like, what if kind of guy of, like, you are maybe like one of top five, maybe uncrowned heavyweight championships. Right. What do you think? Was there talk? I know there was probably talks because I know Vince probably tells everybody that. But when it comes down to it, how close did you get in your mind?
Well, before that even happened, I heard that Shawn Michaels went to one of his little closed-door meeting events, and he told him that the white society wasn't ready for a black champion.
So you're so was, over, that, though.
Yeah, that was one of the excuses because I'll have to pin him.
Yeah.
And he didn't want that to happen.
Oh, my gosh.
So I think that's the biggest Ron thing that held me back.
Yeah, Ron did it. Ron did it
years before.
In the South.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how they couldn't be for it.
Well, that's, you know what happened was, once they gave me the belt and they seen that I could carry any continental belt and, you know, carry well and not, you know, get in trouble and do right things, I think that changed Vince's mind about having black champions.
Okay.
So I think he welcomed more black champions after that.
Yeah.
But, okay, you know, if it wasn't for me carrying it the way I carried it, you know, with such pride and respect, I don't think that he would count no black man champion for a while.
So it may have just been Sean using that, pulling the race card, but not really meaning it, essentially. Just using any means necessary to not have you have the title. It's nothing.
Exactly.
It's not really a black and white thing. It was just a way for Sean to get to Vince and say, hey, look, I don't, this is one reason, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Which, that's annoying, man. I mean, so the political game of wrestling, do you feel like that you learned how to play that game? Because you just did not seem like you were the kind of guy that was into that. I mean, I don't know you, and I've just met you, but I just never took you for the guy to be able to get into the political part of it.
No, you're completely right, man. I didn't. And that's what kind of separated me from the rest of the boys. Was, you know, when they go out and do the drinking and do the little drugs, whatever, I would stay in my room that they would invite me, but I wouldn't go.
Right.
And I think that took me, as you know, high fighting them off or something, you know, or thinking I'm better than them. No, just the day I wasn't into things they were into.
Right.
And they took that as, you know, something else.
Yeah, of course. That you maybe thought.
Hey,
you
let me jump in real quick. Cause that brought, I had something in mind, and that brings me to this. So, and I don't remember anything, but during that time, okay, so a number of people kind of took you the wrong way and whatnot, maybe a little, you know, heat from the boys in the locker room. Did anybody, like, that was during Owen and Davey Boy times too. Did anybody try to pull big ribs on you or anything?
Oh, Owen and Davey did. Owen
and Davey ribbed
me all the time, man. Owen and Davey ribbed me all the time. They, one time I messed around and told Owen, I don't know why I told Owen, that my in-laws were in town, you know, at the match. And I never met them. And they had them up in the box seat. So I get ready, you know, after my match, I get dressed and everything. And I'm smelling like dog shit.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, what is this smell?
Oh,
and it's all over my clothes. And I have no choice but to go meet them. They had a stink bomb that they burst in my bag.
Oh, man.
You got them on my clothes. Because you know I was going to meet the in-laws, you know. So I went to meet them smelling like pure dog doo-doo, man. I didn't think what they were thinking, man.
Oh, God. Can you imagine?
Then one time when I was just got there, this is like maybe my third match. I'm wrestling, you know, I'm already nervous as shit. And I'm wrestling, and all of a sudden, my music comes on halfway through the match. I'm like, there's not 5 people home, you know. Well, maybe they're telling me to take it home. So I went on to end the match real quick. And then I got to the back, Mike Tonda was having a shit. He's like, who cut that fucking music on? Who cut that music on? I want to know who cut that music on. And Owen looked, they would say, Davey did it. Owen, Davey looked at Owen and said, no, Owen, you get it. And so they, I think Owen did it, I believe, but they never got to the bottom of that. But Michael Thomas here.
Amazing, man. They could get away with so much shit like that. Anybody else would probably be fired for doing that, regardless of which one of them it was.
Right. That's but you know what Brett told me? Brett told me, man, he said, man, don't get mad at Owen ripping you. He said, because they only rip you that they like. If yeah. they don't like you, they won't rip you.
Right.
So I'm
right.
like, that's cool, man. I mean, I ain't got no problem with it. I'll get them back. And then they get the one at WrestleMania, they pulled another one on me.
Oh, man.
At WrestleMania, they called me, and here I am talking, thinking I'm talking to Jay Leno, that's assistant. And they tell me that, you know, they want me on Jay Leno's show, and they'll be sending a limousine to pick me up at, let's say, 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
So, man, I went out to Wolfie, and I brought a nice expensive suit, man. I brought some new shoes, a nice watch. And then I'm standing outside all dressed to the teals, man, dressed to teal. And then Owen and Davey comes out. And they said, where are you going? I'm there, looking like that. I said, I got to do a thing with Jay Leno's show. And Owen's like, that's bullshit, man. We never got called from Jay Leno. We've been here, you know, for 14 years or whatever. I said, well, that's just where it's about now sometimes, you know? And then they start. But then all of a sudden, Dave Boy can't hold the end, so he busts out laughing. And then Owen busts out laughing. And I'm like, what are y'all laughing at? And then Brett comes out and he falls in the bushes almost laughing. I'm like, what's so funny? Why y'all laughing? And then it dawned on me. There is no Jay Leno show. Yeah, there is no Jay Leno. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I'm going to get y'all back.
Who was on the phone? Who was on the phone?
Owen.
Who was doing Jay Leno? Owen.
Was it Owen?
Owen.
Yeah.
I was going to say, Owen I can't Hart, see man. That Navy boy being able to pull off a Jay Leno.
No.
Yeah, I guess Owen probably could.
And that I'm is thinking
hilarious.
I think I'm finna go to Jay Leno's show. I'm all dressed up and please. I was going nowhere.
Oh, man.
And they so just funny. Bust out laughing, man. I'm like, man, y'all know what money I spent? Getting ready for the show.
That's classic, man. Did you ever get them back for any of that?
No, man. I never got them back. Got them back.
Yeah,
I'd say
they were always on guard with their stuff. You know what I'm saying? They guarded their stuff like hawks.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
When you do that much shit, you got to be on guard.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
24/7.
It's hard to get them. I don't know if you recall, but you remember the time that Jamie showed up and he was like passed out in the dressing room and all that stuff. And our daggum music was playing and, you know, we had to wrap the thing or whatever. And Monday Night Raw, and I can't find Jamie. He was passed out, but he wasn't in the place where I'd left him. I find him. He's got shaving cream and he's got his gimmick on now. He's got shaving cream all over it, and the music's playing. I had to throw him in the shower real quick, wipe him off, and pretty much wrap myself that night. But, yeah, they were the culprits of that one, too.
Yeah, James a little out there, man.
But, man, yeah, back to you and Ron, too, and just talk about the physicality. Because I was there at ringside, you know, most every night that y'all did shit like that. And, man, y'all did, man. I mean, two big guys just laying it in that didn't really care for each other. I mean, people don't understand, man, you know, wrestling, fake them guys like each other. No, not all the time. It doesn't work that way.
No.
but y'all were like exchanging injuries and shit, not just stiff shots.
Exactly.
Y'all were exchanging injuries.
Exactly. Like when he first started, when his debut, when he came out and kicked me in my kidney.
Yeah.
That's what started the whole thing.
And that puts you out of it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you think 100%, and we weren't there yet. I wouldn't know. You think 100% that he did that on purpose? You think it was just a stiff kick in the wrong place?
No, brother. He said on a podcast that he was honest, but you credit for it. He said that he was jealous. He said, I was jealous of our man when I first got there. And he laid that kick in there, man. I mean, he laid it in there 100% for real. And he knew what he was doing. His
foot touched your spine.
Oh, my God. You ain't lying, man. It just jarred me.
Yeah.
But then when we started getting ring, that's when WrestleMania is when I slammed him through the table and broke his ribs. And his rib punctured his lung a little bit.
Man,
is that when he had the sling on his arm, or that was a different injury, wasn't it? One of y'all pulled him off the top rope by the chain or something like that and fucked his shoulder up, didn't you? One of y'all?
Yeah. I don't know if it was me or Hulk pulled him off the top rope.
I don't remember.
Yeah, but that floor but hard, yeah, that's man. He tore his heart. He bounced.
Oh, yeah. Man.
Yeah. I was standing on it, and I remember bouncing.
Well, you know, as we go along, we start doing it, we were still kind of shooting on each other, but with a little more respect. You know, it was cheap that you can kind of take, but you know I've been there.
Yeah.
You know, not something that I try to kill you or hurt you, but just stuff know I've been there.
Who's the snuggest? I don't mean the most reckless. I mean just the hardest hitter that you've been in there with.
Vader.
Oh, okay. God. Yeah.
Big Vader.
Yeah. Did you get along with him?
The fight.
Yeah, I got along pretty good with Vader, man.
Yeah, okay.
I got along pretty good with him.
I remember the time Jamie came running out of the dressing room. Because you know how everybody used to take naps on the floor and stuff during the the down times? Well, he fell asleep next to Vader. And Jamie came running out of the dressing room to me and Road Dogg and a few others. I can't remember who all was standing there. He's like, Vader was hugging me. He's hugging me. He's hugging me. So Jamie's story was, I don't know how much truth there is to this because I wasn't there. I didn't see it. All I did was hear Jamie. He claims that he was asleep and Vader in his sleep was dreaming and rolled over and put his arm on Jamie and like kind of started like kind of like cuddling him or some shit, like mumbling some kind of mumbling something at him and some whispering sweet nothings in his ear. I don't know, but anyway.
Oh, Lord.
Can you see that?
No, I didn't see it. I didn't see that first time I heard about that.
Oh yeah. Jamie came out like just like he had been raped.
Oh Lord.
It was funny.
Big Vader rolling top of little Jamie.
Yeah.
Like a pit bull. I'll give you anything for a picture of that.
Yeah. Yeah. He was just cuddling with his little dog at home, he thought. Anyway, go ahead, Jimmy.
So, okay, during this time, there was one character or one guy in the ring that was kind of very controversial, and Razor Ramon even said, I'm not working him. But then you had guys like you, and you had guys like Savio Vega, proud Puerto Rican man, who actually did work him. Talk about working Goldust, and especially that early on in the gimmick where he was super, super pushing the line there.
You were great with me in the ring, man. I mean, we didn't have any static back and forth that I know of.
Yeah.
But then again, I didn't start hearing all this bad stuff about me until I left. But while I was there, nobody complained to me.
Yeah.
But Goldust, was a good worker, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate that kiss you gave me.
Oh, yeah, I bet, man. I was about to ask you about that.
Yeah, what happened was it was live TV.
Yeah.
Okay. So we rehearsed this backstage, and what he was supposed to do is put his hand over my mouth and kind of blow in his hand where you really can't tell.
Right.
And he decided, okay, I'm going to do a ha-ha while I'm laying down, so I'm going to do it for real.
Oh, man.
So he did it for real, man. I got up. I was like, son of a bitch. Because I couldn't get up on live TV until he left.
Right.
Yeah. So that was what we worked out, the gimmick part worked out.
Yeah.
And man, I went down there and picked poor Bob Holly up with one hand and then just went to that idiot that's standing by the door when I was coming through.
So oh,
I was through the door.
God.
Yeah. Do you remember that?
Oh, I seen that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You threw the guy through the door.
Yeah.
So. Was that Al Snow? It looked like Al Snow.
No, I went out there with some jobber.
Okay.
Oh.
He decided to stand, Vince act. Would anybody stand in front of the door? And he was like, I will. I'm not scared. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, I don't want you to be scared. I just want you to just stand there and when I come to this door. And that's when he tried to stand there. That's why I took him to the door locked. And I hit him so hard, we unlocked the door and opened it up.
God.
What? Holy shit. I figured it was
gimmick. No. If that door was a gimmick, he'd have went through the door.
Yeah.
But no, that door was locked, man. I hit him so hard, it tore the base where the lock is out. It tore that out, and that's when he went flying through there.
Damn. Incredible Hulk. Jesus.
Well, you know, you say that, Wolfie, that reminds me, I want to ask this, because, you know, there's like, you know, like, I think it's Chili McFrost and a bunch of other, the Ringmaster and stuff. Stone Cold had a bunch of different ideas and gimmick ideas.
Right.
Did they have any other gimmick ideas for you, or were you just going to always be Ahmed? Or I would love to hear if they had some crazy ideas for when you came in.
Well, you know, when I first came in, I don't know who thought of it. Somebody thought about calling me Buck something. Buck. But, you know, Buck was the Roger Slade name.
Yeah, that's not good.
Slade name that they used. So that Vince threw that out the window.
Yeah.
And then they came with Ahmed Johnson.
Okay.
And the thing about it is when I first went out, they didn't tell me if I was a baby face or a heel. Vince said, we're just going to see how the crowd reacts to you.
Okay.
Without giving me any direction and way to go. So that's how Ahmed Johnson got invented. And I was like, well, I'm going to wrestle like a heel.
Yeah.
Get the claws for the baby face, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of the best of both worlds.
When you said that slave thing, that reminded me of, I think I saw this or read it or something, that they wanted to do an angle where they hung you by the neck or some shit like that. Oh, you didn't want to do
that,
right?
That was the reason why I walked out, right. That was one of the reasons why I walked out.
Here's the question I got, okay? Because the lines get blurred between, you know, us being a character in the ring as opposed to that's the real person in the ring and what's fiction, what's okay. So let's just say, hypothetically, that you get cast for a movie and there's a scene in the movie that's the same exact thing that they were asking you to do there. In a movie, would you do that or just not in wrestling because of the line blur?
I don't think I would have done it in a movie either.
Okay.
Really?
Not the hanging part, yeah. Because
you think about all the stuff that you think about all the stuff that we see in movies. I mean, killings, rapes. I mean, just anything.
Right.
It's a movie, and people don't really, you know. I know now people are more sensitive to shit, but overall, there's a lot that movies get away with that we can't get away with in wrestling because of that blurred line of what's fiction, what's the real person, what's not. This was someone's idea. Right. How dare them? You know, it's just a whole different thing with wrestling. And I find that very intriguing. I really do.
Yeah, I don't think I would have done it with you, you know, if it would have been, you know, in a movie.
Yeah, okay.
That's what I think about time. I've done some movies. You know, the worst thing I ever did in movies, I played Suge Knight.
Suge Knight, exactly.
Yeah,
talk about that.
You see that? Yeah, too legit.
Yes, I have.
Yeah. Well, I got to meet with Suge Knight, man, and we talked for a while. And once again, here's a bad dude that's talking to me like he's a good dude, you know, telling me all the things he's done, you know, things I'm kids. Man, I know who you are, and he's all that math. You know, don't try to sit here and bull jive me into thinking you're a good guy.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I wanted you to play, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I went on and played it, and he gave me a death row chain. It was just all gold.
Wow.
And I lost it.
Oh.
I lost it, man. I can't tell you where I lost it at.
Wow.
But yeah, it was a cool flick, man.
Yeah, it was. And it like clicked back in my mind when I was doing research on you. I was like, oh yeah, he did do that. Man, that clicked. And so I went and looked up some clips, and you did a good job.
And for the listeners and for me as well, because I have not seen it. What movie are we talking about?
It's called Too Legit.
Yeah, it's the MC Hammer movie. It's basically the story about Hammer's life. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to have to check that out. I didn't know that. It's a new one on there. Jimmy always does the best research.
I said Jimmy Hart. Suge Knight was MC Hammer's bodyguard.
Yeah.
For a while.
Okay. Yeah. Very early on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I might have to look that up. Yeah.
I mean, I think there needs to be a sequel with just the Suge Knight part played by you on that.
I always thought that, man.
Yeah.
I always thought they should do a sequel.
Yeah,
people are more interested in Suge than they were with Hammer. You know what I'm saying?
No, disrespect to Hammer. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but I love Hammer, but you know,
pumps in the bump.
More interested in Suge,
right? Because that's a gangster flick right there, man. That's like Goodfellas. You know, that's there's so much more there. I just want to see the scene of you holding Vanilla Ice. Wolfie can play Vanilla Ice. Hold on, we can make this happen.
Hold him out the window, huh?
Wolfie, you in for Vanilla Ice? Can we get you? Can we
book
you?
Yeah, man. I mean, dude, my stepdad did it to me for real when I was like 8 years old. He hung me over a balcony by my ankles.
Wow.
I'm time tested, buddy.
God.
Wow.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
This is Steve Bowtie Bryant here. Back in the 90s, I was a pro wrestling photographer for the South, and I released what might have been one of the original sets of indie trading cards. I ran across some of these original sets. They were up in Randall Fanning's attic all this time. PG-13 rookie card, Ricky Morton, George Weingroff as the Sheep, Chris Champion, Reno Riggins, Billy Montana, Gary Valiant, the Scorpion, the Medic, Rick Reynolds, Jeff Daniels, Mephisto and Dante, Ben Jordan, Steve Neely, Marcus Woodrow, Clinton Charisma, Little Farmer John. If you'd like an opportunity to get these cards, contact me now. You can get them for only $49.99. Contact me at stevebowtiebryant@icloud.com. Get your set now while supplies last.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com. That's B-U-I-E Homes.com. Or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Well, let me ask you a question, man.
Yeah.
Who thought of that Nation Dom State Nation rap? Did y'all do that on your own, or did they have that written out for y'all?
I wrote it. I wrote it, and they never gave me a nickel for it because let me go into this story. So when Cornette called us and told us, okay, we're doing this thing. I don't remember him saying Ron Simmons or anything. He said, but we're doing this group, this faction. We want you guys to rap. We don't want you to wear your PG-13 stuff. We want you to change it a little bit. They sent us some money. We went shopping in Memphis and bought all the shit. And they told me to write this rap, and I went up there with Jamie and went to Jim Johnson, and we recorded it there. Then we took it with us, the instrumental, and played it on the road, to learn it before Survivor Series of '96. So the deal. We rapped it every night, blah blah blah. Well, when we met, and then they come out with the WWE the music CDs, they took our voices out of the Nation theme song. So later on, around 2008, okay, so that 10 years later, I find out that the overseas release actually had our voices still in it. This was before internet. They probably thought we'd never know. So basically, and I know that shit sold. That was, one that had Undertaker, Stone Cold. I mean, that was a high selling right there, man. So at any rate, I never got anything for it. So
I always wondered if y'all wrote that, man, or if they wrote it for you.
Yeah,
they was hitting.
Yeah, I did that. And I always tell Jimmy, I said, they didn't even have names for us. We were just those two thugs until I wrote that rap and put our name in it every single night. Everybody had to hear what our names were.
Exactly. That was the song that's going to catch on, too.
Yeah.
That was the case. I still hear it in my dream sometime. I hear it.
The thorn. Bum rush your mother. That's the funniest line everybody always remembers. Bum rush your mother.
Yeah.
yeah. for whatever reason. All right, so you were in, when you debuted, you were still in the time of jobbers, enhancement talent, carpenters, whatever you yes. want to call them. Tell me, who was your favorite enhancement talent to work with?
A guy named Rico Suave.
Oh, Rico yeah. Suave.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a guy named Rico Suave. He did my first match with me on TV. Mm-hmm. And he also came and did my dark match on the house show when they first took a look at me. Mm-hmm. He did them. Man, that dude was incredible, man. I don't know why they didn't sign him. Probably he was built kind of funny. So they didn't sign him. But, bro, he was somebody that should have been signed, too. Just like, you know, you guys should have had your own tag team in WWF. He was one of the guys that they should have signed.
Yeah. Yeah. What about, and I was kind of hoping you were going to go to one of these guys, because a couple of them we've had on and a couple of them are my friends and stuff, but like what Reno Riggins, Barry Horowitz, and George South. Did you work any of them?
Reno Riggins, Barry Horowitz. No, I don't know.
No. Hey, they might have been gone before you got there.
What about Ben Jordan? Did you ever work Ben? I think Ben.
I don't remember Ben Jordan.
Yeah, I think he might have been gone at that time, too.
But. Yeah, they were older dudes than that. And George South, you know George. He's WCW long-termer. So, but I just didn't know if you just – so the one guy that you had your first match with just made you look like $1 million in your life.
Man, he made me look like $2 million. And then coming out Slim and Yoko after that really put the cap on it then.
So, okay, that's my question. How was that? That was one of my questions. You're a great co-host, Ahmed. I'm appreciating you here.
Let me tell you how that went. That's when I first got there. All the boys had seen me in my dark match. And when I came through behind the curtain, everybody was behind the curtain watching.
I bet.
They had a stain for me right then because it was so incredible, man. And I did, you know, such a good job, you know, me and Rico. And, they just, you know, developed their hatred and jealousy right then. So I remember the next few nights when I was going to Sam Yoko, Vince told me, you know, what I was going to do. So I went to Yoko and I was like, Yoko, I said, I got to pick you up to slam you, man. Try to slam you. And you don't say you've been slammed, so I tried to slam you.
Right.
You know, during your match. And he looks at me and says, I hope you can get me up because I'm not jumping for you.
Duh. Oh, my God.
Yes, he did, brother. Yes, he did. He said, I hope you get Mick not jumping for you. And I thought he was kidding me. I thought he was bullshitting. And if you notice, when I did slam him, I put my hands underneath him first and just gave him a little nudge, you know, like enough for him to jump. That son of a bitch didn't jump at all.
Oh, my gosh.
He didn't jump at all. So I went on and got him up anyway and slammed him. And that would make that even more incredible, the fact that he didn't help me.
Seriously. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, if you'll watch that clip, man, watch when I got underneath him, I nudged him a little bit. And then you could tell he didn't jump because when I got him up, his feet went up like 1 foot at a time. Mm-hmm. And he didn't jump at all, brother. Mm. Then he came to the back and like, man, I'm just too tired, man, to jump. And man, how are you too tired to jump?
To spin up, I'd say, like I've seen a couple of people, you know, like Hogan, obviously, and then a couple slam Andre. I feel like, and help or not, either one, I'd say slamming Yoko would be harder because his center of gravity is lower. He's almost like, you know, picking up a fucking bowling ball.
Yeah,
his damn legs are bigger than me.
Man,
that was a hell of a pickup, man.
But you know what's fucked up, Ahmed? It's fucked up that you could slam Yokozuna but can't throw Wolfie D over top rope.
I know, isn't it? I mean, what's up with that, man?
That's bullshit, man.
I can
slam
Yoko, but I can't get Wolfie D up. I tried, bro. Trust me, I tried.
No, I'm just fucking with you, man.
I tried,
that's
brother.
Shit, though.
I was blown.
Sky high.
So this is an interesting question, and I don't know how to ask it without seeming like it's kind of – I don't want it to sound negative. I want you to tell me the honest. So there's been guys like Ezekiel Jackson, which I think was almost like a total ripoff of you, and I don't know if you know him, but no disrespect to Ezekiel. We'll talk to him on down the line. But they almost drew you and said, who can we put in this place? So exactly. Guys like that. And then also like somebody like a Bobby Lashley, who's kind of now, what do you think of the, I mean, okay, let's just say this, Ahmed versus Bobby Lashley, who wins that one?
Ahmed.
I love it. Tell me why.
Yeah, because he's, I like Bobby. Don't get me wrong. I love Bobby Lashley in the ring, but he doesn't have that intensity that I have, and nobody has since they left. There's been nobody there with the intensity. He brings a lot of people in, you know. And all Goldberg was the white Ahmed Johnson trying to bring his intensity. But the fans could feel when it was. I wasn't the best wrestler in the world. I mean, I was green as grass, man, when I got there. You know what I'm saying? I wasn't the best worker in the world, but that intensity, somehow it connected fans with me big time.
Right.
And I don't think Bob Lashley had intensity. Ezekiel definitely did not have the intensity.
No, he didn't.
And the closest they came is probably Brock Lesnar.
Right. That's a good point.
With that kind of intensity.
Yeah.
But it's something that you can't, fake, man. It's something that you got to feel or it just doesn't happen.
Right.
You can't buy that.
Right. You know, one thing that kind of bugs me about Bobby, and this seems so petty, but I feel like it may hurt him a little bit, is he just doesn't have any bass in his voice. Is that just crazy of me to say that? Do you know what I'm saying?
No, he doesn't.
It's like very authoritative when he talks. It's almost, I don't know, man. He could whip my ass all day, but but it's just funny that I just feel like there's no bass in his voice, and that's something obviously
you have,
and Ron has, and you know, I don't know. Maybe I'm crazy.
I could see him whipping your ass, Jimmy, talking in his voice to you the whole time.
Yeah, he would beat my ass.
What are you doing, man? Why are you bothering me, man? Don't bother me.
Oh my gosh!
Yeah, that's you think you get that around the nose. That's one of Bobby's problems. Is he doesn't sound like a fighter. He's a fighter. The dude went, you know, not UFC, but he did Strikeforce, I believe.
Right.
And he is a fighter, but he just doesn't sound like one. The promos aren't good.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, somebody like Mike Tyson, they could just knock you out in 30 seconds. So it didn't matter how he talked, you know, he got away with more stuff because he was like, okay, you're already out. So I can just talk however I want to, but
you know, exactly.
I hate to speak.
You're ludicrous.
Yeah.
This is ludicrous. Ecstatic was the other word.
Yeah.
I think Mike with the dictionary got a bunch of words out that he was going to say during his interview.
Yes.
Spinal. I don't know if he meant, but maybe he knew what they meant, but he said them.
I broke my back. Spinal.
Yeah, he, you know, he snuck a good dude too, man, when he came to WWF. I mean, I was there again. He snuck a real good dude, man.
Oh, dude. That's a hero of mine. Yeah, absolutely.
I wasn't going to piss him off.
No. Yeah.
Man on the planet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, okay. Now, one more question, Wolfie. I'm sorry if I cut you off there, but obviously you were doing Moadib and Global, which that's actually my first memory of seeing you, Ahmed, when you were doing that.
Oh, yeah.
Now, talk about that a little bit.
Moadib was a character from, I don't know where he's from. They never just say.
Yeah.
Or maybe so I didn't listen. Yeah. But I got Skandar Akbar, that's my manager.
Oh, love Skandar. Yeah.
Yeah, I had old Skandar as my manager, man, and it was a cool little gimmick. Even then, they pushed me for the belt, but I left before they did because I got caught from the WWF.
Yeah.
But even then, they were trying to put the belt on me, you know?
Yeah. And then you get a tour from Japan, and a lot of guys don't get that Japan tour until after they're out of the WWE and they're kind of looking for another big payday. But you actually hit Japan before. You kind of did it in the opposite direction. Talk about Big Japan. You went out there in 95.
Man, them dudes are shooters, dog. Yeah. They will shoot on you in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I remember one match I went to, they didn't tell me shit. Kendall didn't tell me nothing. We get to the match, and there's a ring with barbed wire all around it.
Oh, my God, bro.
Yeah, around where the ropes are. It's barbed wire.
Man.
Like, you didn't know that?
No, they didn't tell me I was going to do a barbed wire match.
Oh, shit.
And I know what you do a barbed wire match, you know, and I want you to, you know, just take it easy. And just, man, I'm like, you think I'm going to get in here with barbed wire and take it easy with somebody so they can slam me into it? I don't think so. So I feel sorry, but that Japanese dude that day, I feel sorry for him, brother, because he got ate up.
Well, so in the Japan, you know, a lot of the guys say, like, you have to kind of overpower them and then they'll chill out. Like Bull Buchanan told us that. You know, he said, once you start laying it into them, then they'll see you can do it and then they chill out. Did you find that to be the same way? Like you had to meet their style and then they chilled out? Or how did you?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I would say that. That's very true. Because I'm telling you, they come in there, they're going to shoot on you, brother.
Yeah.
They're going to shoot. I don't care who you are or what you're about, they're going to shoot on you. But once they see that you can take it and you're going to shoot back on them, then they kind of like, you know, tone
they
it down
test,
a little bit.
Testing you.
Yeah. Because, I mean, to them, they're probably seeing you as this, like, you're an American genetic specimen. You're just like, you know, okay, this, I'm going to, hey, I'm not only going to chop down an American here, I'm actually going to chop down a big American, you know?
Right.
I don't know. I can see that. And then how would you say that after your WWF run, would you have changed anything about that Japan run?
No, I don't think I would have.
Okay.
Everything was sweet, man. I mean, after every match, they take us to this, like, bathhouse. And they had a cold tub and a hot tub and a sauna. And once you get done with all them, brother, you feel like you're brand new.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah.
Let me get one in here real quick about this new age of politically correctness in everything in wrestling. And what do you, let's rewind here. If we were to come out on Monday Night Raw against you, we've all, you know, we're not our age right now. We're our age then. If we come out on Monday Night Raw with Ron Simmons and a bunch of other black people wearing basically Nation of Islam garb and two white boys mm-hmm. throwing up a black power sign, how would that fly today, do you think?
No, you probably get a call from Terrorcon today. I don't think that'll go over very well.
Even then, looking back on it, I'm like, that was kind of edgy as fuck, man. You know, having two white boys come out as your front men throwing up a black power sign with all black people. I mean, that was
right.
Like,
and Iran is supposed to hate, you know, white people. He's supposed to be the Nation Islam leader and come out two white singers. But the thing about it, though, it messed so well.
Right? Yeah. It worked.
It all meshed together so well. Yeah.
It worked.
It definitely worked.
Today, they'd shit their pants. There'd be no way that would ever happen.
No, I don't think they could do it today.
It's weird really how don't. It was kind of integrated, but now it seems a little more segregated. It's just weird. I don't want to get into that side of things.
That's true.
You know, but
that's
I don't
true.
Know. Yeah. Well, the question I was going to ask, and I don't need the specifics and I don't need the number, but just you know, knowing you were a top guy, and I'm not asking the dollar amount, but what show or pay-per-view or whatever, what was your biggest payday?
My biggest one was probably a little over 100,000.
Oh, wow. You're telling. Okay. Gotcha. Which one was that? Was that WrestleMania? Sorry. I wasn't trying to. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Now, how was that, man? I mean, you told. Now, I'm not, folks out there, I was not being nosy. I just wanted to know the show. So, how did that feel? I mean, when you're getting that one check at one time, obviously it felt great, right?
Oh, it felt real good, man. Because I was getting like for our house shows, I was getting somewhere between 50 and 60.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And that's then, like I said, then for WrestleMania, it jumped up to 100 or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That's a hell of money.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still living off of it now.
That's awesome, man.
Hell yeah. Cool. I saw a thing, too, that I read. Did you go back to school for criminology or something?
Yeah, I went back to school for criminology.
Yeah.
And then got out again.
Oh, yeah. So you didn't, like, use it? You weren't doing nothing with that?
No, well, my brother is chief of police down in, what is it, a part of Florida? I can't think of what part of Florida it is now.
Yeah.
Well, if you look at Kenny Norris, that's my brother.
Okay,
Kenny.
Okay.
And he's assistant chief of police. I said chief police. Assistant chief of police down in Fort Pierce, Florida.
Okay.
And then my son is a cop in Atlanta. My other son's a cop in Orlando.
Oh, so you surrounded by it.
Yeah.
Didn't want to get in the wrestling business?
Nah. At first, I got bitten.
Yeah.
But what happened was Stevie Ray and me were real cool, man. We were, I mean, tight as feet. We fought together, man, several nights.
Okay.
And we were just, you know, tight and had each other's back like that. And so Stevie was going to he found an ad for Ivan Pusky Wrestling School here in Houston.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Ivan Pusky trained, they won't say it, but Ivan Pusky trained me, G.I. Bro Jr.
We know who that is.
Booker T. And me. I mean, he trained Scott Pusky, who did a few shows with WWE.
Right.
He trained all of us. He trained all of us, man. And, you know, I always give him his props, but they don't give him his props. They always say Scott Casey trained him.
Gotcha.
Which
gotcha.
Isn't true. Ivan Plessy trained them, man.
I wonder why they don't claim it.
I don't know.
Strange.
That is weird. So I read something, and this is, I don't even know if you want to talk about this, but there was something about your time in the Army and you like actually laid the smack down on a superior. Is there something about that?
Well, let me tell you what happened there. I graduated from the Army. I graduated most distinguished honor graduate, which is number one out of 2,000 soldiers. I graduated top of the class.
Wow.
And we was involved, I was in Charlie Company, and then they took me to Bravo Company with this new commander, and he was just an asshole, man. I mean, trick asshole.
Yeah.
And he wanted me to go do some, well, he wanted an opportunity to go do something that wasn't right. And I won't go into detail what that was about, but it wasn't right because it involved some little kids and women, and that's not fair.
It's
our creed, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
And so, I went to him, and we were talking, and we got into the argument, and I hit him. I didn't try to hit him. Just before you know it, I hit him.
Mm-hmm.
And, brother, they got my butt, put me in stockade.
Oh, man.
Yeah, they locked me up in stockade for a while and everything, man.
Wow. I read that, and I was like, my God, he was built for wrestling. He was meant to be in wrestling.
Yeah, exactly.
He was working the gimmick early. You know, that's great.
Yeah, man. You know, just like I have played a little preseason with the Cowboys, you know. I went to scout camp, I went to scout camp, and I wasn't there to try out. I went there to support a friend of trying out. And I'll never forget this white old man named Bob Eccles. Came to me and he said, well, you're not trying out? I was like, no, I just got the Army. I'm built, but, you know, I was ready to go.
Yeah.
He said, no, I think you should try out. I said, no, I'm not here to try. I'm here, you know, to support my friend. And so he left and came back with some cleats, some shorts, and a shirt. He said, why don't you go try out? And I was like, well, now you obligated since you went and brought this stuff. I mean,
right.
You obligated me to do it. I want to not do it now. So I went out there, man, and had the highest men's press. I won the highest vertical leaps that they had out in the camp. And at the end of the camp, out of 400 guys, they only called four of us. Hmm. And my name was one of them they called, man, for the Dallas Cowboys. And I was excited, brother.
I imagine. Did you, you said you played preseason with them?
Yeah, this was a small preseason with them. I didn't get any game time.
Yeah.
Well, still, you made it.
That's awesome, dude. Well, to not even be planning to do it, and you're just like, here you go. Can you imagine?
I didn't plan on doing it at all.
The 396 guys that didn't make it, they're probably cussing you.
Oh, man, that was the dude I went with didn't make it. And that was the longest ride home I think I ever had in my life.
Oh,
I
bet.
But he was silent. and you can't apologize for so many times, you know, about him not making it, but he was silent. Here he is saying, I bring his asshole with me. He makes it and I don't.
Oh, man.
Well, man, listen, it's been a pleasure having you on. I know we're drawing near our time. Is there anything that you got going on you want to plug or anything, let the fans know, or other promotions that may want to, you know, bring you to a convention or something like that? How do they get a hold of you?
Well, I'm going to do a signing next Friday.
Mm-hmm. What date?
In
what
Ohio.
Date
will it be? What day is it? Is that the 5th?
The 4th?
The 4th or the 5th.
Okay, the 4th is a Friday. I know that because I'm having surgery. Hernia surgery. Yeah, the 4th. August the 4th is definitely a Friday. So, yeah.
Right.
You're going to be where?
In Ohio.
In Ohio? Okay. You know the name of
the event? Yeah, I'm not sure.
Okay.
No, I don't know. It's a little toy store.
Okay.
I don't know the name of it.
Okay. Yeah.
So if anybody wants to get in contact with you, how do they do that?
They can get on Instagram.
Okay. All right. Is it at Ahmed Johnson or?
Yeah. Something like it's that? Ahmed Johnson.
And you do have a new action figure, by the way, that they created. I think it's Grapplers and Gimmicks.
Yeah. Now they're doing a pillow with me on it.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to be doing a big action figure coming up.
Very cool. Yeah. It looked great. The action figure looked great, man. So
thank you, man.
Yeah, everybody keep an eye out for that. Say again?
I said, you ought to get in touch with them, man, because they're looking for, you know, guys that they're not doing gimmicks for.
Here's We've been working issue. On that.
Here's the issue. The issue is Jamie Dundee. I cannot get him to, like, he called me at the end of last year, beginning of this year. Okay, Wolfie, I'm ready to do these conventions now. Book them all and I'll be there. He made two. No showed the rest, you know, and it's like,
oh Lord,
he hates wrestling. He hates everybody in it. Yet you see him going on people's podcasts and stuff. So I don't know. And me and him are just, it's like, he don't want to push the shit. You know, it's like, this is a free, you get paid to get paid to sit there and sign autographs. How hard is that, man? I don't understand. Yeah. And it leads to things like action figures and shit like that. You know, I can't get
it. And they pay good too, man.
That's awesome.
I cut a deal with the guy. He had to pay me $2,000 up front.
There you go.
From there, he gives me half of everything sold.
There you go. And
it's been racking up, brother.
That's awesome. Yeah. I wish that I could get him on the same page with me, but I just can't. I don't think anybody can. He's my buddy. He's like my brother, man. And, you know, I can talk bad about him, but nobody else can. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, you know him.
Yeah.
Well, if we can make that happen, then we'll reenact the Ahmed throwing Wolfie out.
Yeah.
With the action.
Yeah.
It's weird. All right, man. I'm going to let you get back to whatever it is you're doing today, chilling around the house, whatever, man. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
It's a pleasure, man.
It's been great just catching up with you and talking to you, man. I do appreciate it.
This first podcast I got on when you guys didn't want to, you know, talk a bunch of shit about other people, man, and I appreciate that.
Yeah, man. Like I told you, man, ours is just different, man. And I think that's why I get so many listeners, and that's what they tell us. They're like, because I ask people and they say, that's a great podcast. I'm like, what's so good about it? Well, it's because y'all just do different stuff than everybody else, and we never know what to expect. And, you know, and we laugh. I'm not trying to be serious.
Right.
I don't care. You know, yeah, we talk about you and Ron had heat because that's just kind of a thing, you know, but I'm not, I don't want you to bury him in his family or, you know, look for dirt on everybody when they bring you on. And that's their intention a lot of times, is to get dirt out of you or to put you in a fucking peculiar spot that you don't want to be in and shit you want to talk about. So anyway, man, I don't fucking do that, man, because I am one of the boys and I know how it is. And if all my shit ever came out, it wouldn't be good.
Exactly.
I get it, man. But anyway, man, thank you so much again. And Jimmy, when we come back from this break, are we doing Ask Wolfie Anything?
Oh, you know it. Ask Wolfie Anything. Thank you so much. Thank you.
Hey, you're welcome.
Really
brother.
An honor.
Appreciate
really
y'all, man.
Yeah.
That was fun, thank man. You. Hey, shoot me a text every once in a while. Let me know you're doing all right, man.
I'll definitely do that, man.
Okay, buddy. Thanks again. And we'll talk to you.
All right.
Take care,
bro. Take it easy.
Yes, sir.
All right. We'll be back.
DJ, hit the music. Ask Wolfie Anything, whoa. 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 All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything, but first of all, let's say, how awesome is Ahmed Johnson? Good job, Wolfie D. This was great.
Cool interview. Cool dude, man. You know, he gets a bad rap sometimes, but hey, man, he's always been straight with me. And, you know, he did us a favor coming on. And
absolutely. And I don't know if people realize how rare this appearance on a podcast is. He does not do these. I know that he's turned down big names in the game. So to come on the Wolfie D podcast, man, I tell you, I'm just so thankful that happened, honestly.
Yeah, that's cool.
And he gave us a solid hour. I mean, honestly, we could have kept going. I don't think he was looking at the clock.
No, you know? Absolutely not.
We just kind of got to the point where we were like, hey, look, it's our normal time. Let's kind of wrap it up. But honestly, he wasn't looking at the clock. We could have kept going. He's honest about stuff, too.
We've had some people complain that I cut him off and don't let him finish. So listen, if I cut Ahmed Johnson off, I'll cut you off, by God. And I wasn't, you know, we came to our time, man. I know how to stick to my times, man.
You got to stick to your times because honestly, Yeah, because with our commercials and everything, we don't want our shows going too long. You know, I know there's podcasts out there that go 2.5 hours, 3 hours. We're just not into that. That's just not us. We're a good light listen that you can listen, you know, on your drive to and from work and enjoy your day, man.
Doing your cardio, whatever it is you do, man.
Do your cardio. Everybody should be doing some cardio.
You haven't even got to look at our ugly mugs either. You just listen to us.
Yeah, we're not two fat white boys talking about... Our opinions on the latest AEW show, you know, we're talking real stuff over here, guys. Not to knock the two fat white boys. We love y'all, too. Thank you for listening. But anyway, we are Ask Wolfie D Anything right now. And so our very first question, now we've got some really good ones here, and I'm actually very interested in this question right here has been one that I've actually thought to ask you before. But hey, I don't have to do it because we've got Questglove from Twitter. Great listener, great subscriber. Thank you so much. And so he says that he has issues with multi-fall match psychology. He says it's always bugged him. Basically, the easy pins and early falls that seem quicker than a normal match would be. And basically, I think he's talking about like Iron Man matches where there's like multi-fall matches or two out of three falls. Yeah, so like wherever, like the first, you know, like a normal match, it would be maybe 10 to 15, 20 minutes, and you would get one pin and everybody would fight. You know, you would maybe take a 2 count or even a 2.5 count, but you're kicking out on three. But it seems like on these early falls in these, you know, multi-fall matches, can you tell us a little bit about the psychology behind that?
Well, I mean, I get it, and I've often thought the same thing. I mean, you know, if it's a 2 out of 3 falls, you know, it depends on who's going over in the end of who's going to win the first one and who's going to win the second one. And then to make the drama in the last one, usually that's the way it was in Mexico. Always 2 out of 3 falls and same concept. But then if you're talking, you know, the Iron Man matches and all that, I mean, what else are you going to do? I mean, maybe possibly who's ever doing it needs to, you know, maybe update the concept there a little bit and take some. And it also boils down to everybody kicks out of everything now. Right. So, I mean, what are you going to take a pin to then? Yeah. And if you got to take multiple ones, it's like, okay, they're just not used to seeing a pretty quick, clean finish. You know,
right.
They're not used to that. But plug Rock and Roll Express Texas Death Match against PG-13, where we did have multiple falls, but most of the falls were not just a sunset flip or something. It was a sunset flip with a powder to the face or something that would cause a pin. I think we did a pretty good job with that. If you haven't seen it, check it out. So,
that's
about all I can say is I guess that match type, the pins need to be stepped up a little bit. I hadn't seen anybody do one in a while, so I don't really have a judgment on if there's a match he's talking about. But that's my opinion on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of – there's been some recently on AEW, and I think they're randomly out there. They're never my favorite type of match. I do like the 2 out of 3 falls sometimes, like you were talking about. But it's more about the more current – but, you know, like my brother and I have talked about this, Plastic Sheik. You know, I'll say, like, do you think – like, so, like, say somebody puts you in a submission hold and they quick tap. Do you think – is part of the psychology that, okay, look, I'm going to get out of this hold so it doesn't hurt me. I know we've got more time, so I'll take this quick loss.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point. Good, valid point there. Yeah, you can look at it like that. But see, on stuff like that too, man, you got to have your announcers in on the game. You got to have really good announcers like the Gordon Solis and the Jim Rosses that can explain that to the fans, you know?
Right. So,
that's a good smart move right there. He's taking that to not injure himself, you know.
Right.
That's your announcer's spot there.
Yeah, I don't know. That was just something that, you know, I was thinking, man, I wonder if that's part of it. I know the era of full believability has unfortunately left the door, but you know, to me, I think there's still that room for that, you know. I still think there's a spot in the world that you can go in a wrestling arena or wrestling VFW hall or whatever and leave your disbelief at the door, you know.
And so, I think that, you know, doing a podcast, being in the wrestling business, talking about it a lot, and being on the internet with like people, sometimes not like people, but still all in that little bubble. Man, I promise you, there's a whole bunch of people that go to wrestling that, and I'm not talking about your local wrestling, I'm talking about like big shows that the common folk go to that don't get on the internet and read about wrestling all the time, that go and don't think like we think all the fans think, you know? There are still those ones that are going to, they know they're going to a show, but they're not so overeducated in it that they can't enjoy it and have a good time with kids and shit.
Right, exactly. And, you know, if you see kids in the audience, to me, that's a good sign, you know, because you can have a whole arena of guys in their 20s and 30s shouting whatever move they want to see or whatever they want to get over, and they want to try to run the show and stuff like that. If you see that, your business is doing good right now. But if you see kids in the audience, and a ton of them especially, that means you're going to have a future. You know what I mean?
There used to be part of another little saying was always like, you know, the kids will bring their parents.
Right.
And also, the next target was the girls, because they'll bring their boyfriends or whatever.
They'll bring their boyfriends. Yeah. Got to buy
a ticket.
Yeah.
So that was kind of,
Dude, I recently heard a story, a little off topic here, but this is too, you brought that up and it's a good one. That one time Rick Rude was walking to the ring, okay, and a guy jumps on him and he's got his robe on and he's like jumps over the fence and jumps on his back and is like beating on him. And of course, it's not really affecting Rick, and Rick like gets him off and security gets him off and stuff. And they get him in the back and they ask him why he did it. And he was like, well, my girlfriend was cheering for Rick and it made me jealous. And he goes to fight Rick Rude, who's like one of the toughest dudes ever, man. So not smart. Anyway, yeah. Okay. All right. So that was a good question, Questglove. And thank you for that answer, Wolfie D. The very next one we've got here is from Faust Eric on Twitter. And this one is a good question. So out of all of your matches in your career, have there been any that should have been absolutely great, but for some reason it did not live up to your own personal standard?
Yeah, we've talked about this before. There's quite a few of those.
Yeah.
I wish the Dudley PG-13 match at the ECW Hardcore Heaven 97 would have been different. I told you I worked Brad Armstrong one time, which was a good match, but it wasn't in the scenario that I wanted it in, and I really wish I had that one back. Not that, like I said, again, not that either one of us did anything wrong. It's just it with a little bit of juice behind that match, it could have been a lot better at that time. And I worked Jeff one time at the fairgrounds, and I think that could have been a whole lot better too. Just, I don't know. It didn't click. I mean, it did, but it didn't. And I mean, I don't know. It's hard to explain. Not bad matches. None of them were bad matches, but he said lived up to my expectations and my level of, you know, my standards. I would say those are some of them that I can think of.
Well, let me ask you a quick question. When you get to the back there with Jeff, especially, not really about the
never numbers, got today was in Nashville, so I never got in the back.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Makes sense. Okay. Were you ever able to talk to him about it after that and say, how'd you feel?
Remember, man. Because it was probably a thing where he had come in for a hot minute for one night or something like that. And
gotcha.
Was back out.
Yeah. Makes sense. Yeah. Well, that's cool, man. I like that question and I appreciate it. Anyway, so the next one is from Snuffy Smith on Twitter. And he asked this, and this is an interesting question because I know partly what you're going to say, but I like you to answer them. So tell me something that he does not know about the Evansville Coliseum.
Tell them something that they don't know about
the Coliseum. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh. Well, let's see here. There's a lot that I feel like people know. There's some things I'll tell you that went on that people don't know, but I won't be the one telling you. I know there was like jail cells up under there. If you go down real far, there's old jail cells underneath it.
Wow.
Wow. There's a door that goes it stays locked, but I can't remember when and how I got in there, but we did. And you open it and you go down some steps, and then there's some like some little holding cells down there, I guess, for, you know, back in the day. That Coliseum's old. I don't know what year it was built, but I mean, maybe people started acting a fool, needed to be put down there, they put them down there. I mean, football stadiums still have them, don't they?
Right. Yeah. I think they do have holding cells or something to that effect. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, there's pretty creepy down under there.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, as far as something about it, that would be the only thing I can think of. But now, things that went on, there's a lot that I've seen. So,
yeah, maybe another day with another person telling it. And just to be, just to be totally blunt, Evansville was never your favorite town, right?
It wasn't anybody's favorite that I'm aware of.
Yeah.
I mean, the fans that came, thank you.
There
were some cool people up there, some cool fans we hung out with and stuff like that. But just, man, the wrestling died there. And I don't know. It's odd to me that, all the other towns would pick up, and that one would pick up a little, but not to the level of the other ones. And just that base crowd was always smaller. And I didn't understand it. Why that town? It always seemed the location. I don't know. The location, I don't think, had anything to do with it, but I don't know.
All right, man. Well, that is all I have for questions and Ask Wolfie today. Once again, excellent episode with Ahmed. So humble, so real. It was just a great, great conversation with him. And, man,
I was just going to close with this. This is funny to me. They're nice, man. They're World Wrestling Entertainment. And I got a letter in the mail that says, according to our records, in a recent review of our outstanding checklist,
yeah,
as in check, we discovered that one of the checks mailed to you were never cashed. The details of these checks are listed below. Check number, blah, 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 dated, blah, 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 in the amount of $52.08.
Wow. What the heck, Wolfie?
If I want this money, and for them not to report it as unclaimed funds to the state, to please fill out this form and return it. So I am going to get my $52.08 for being on DVDs last year.
Dude, that is awesome. Good for you, Wolfie D. $52, man.
Hey, I could use $52 any day of the week.
Yeah. So. Heck yeah. Heck yeah. That's awesome, man. Hey, good for you. Everybody, just send
them,
Wolfie
man. A... that $52 for me. I mean, that's saying a lot.
Yeah, it is, man.
They can overlook that. It's just $50. Fuck it.
Right, right. Could just be like, he didn't cash it. It's on him. That's his problem. What? Wonder why? Do you think it was sent
really
to him back?
I think I cashed it.
I mean, you would have, right?
I think I cashed it. But
you would have if you got it, right? I mean,
I'm sure I would have.
Yeah. Dude, anyway, that's awesome, man. That is very cool and very awesome and timely of this episode, So at least they have your current address, So
exactly.
Do you have to update them everywhere you move?
Yes, because there's been plenty. I promise you, there's been plenty over the years that I've missed. I guarantee it. Because they used to be a lot more than that. But since WWE Network, I've talked about that. Not many people buy DVDs anymore. That's really all I get paid on. So
yeah. Of course, the streaming. They figured it out with that streaming stuff, dude.
Oh yeah.
There's no royalties there, and until there are, and there should be, there's got to be some way that they can track that. Yeah. But anyway, man, that's wild. Anyway, well, good for you, buddy. I'm glad. $52 to the good for the good. One more for the good guys. Anyway.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening, and tune in next week. Who knows who we'll have?
Hopefully somebody good, right?
Nah, it's somebody shitty this time.
All right, we'll do shitty next. Right. Sounds
we'll
good.
We'll do shitty guest next.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the plastic chic Jared are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling. Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right, it's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudica and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah!
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
If you're a fan of rock music, I'd really appreciate it if you took a moment to check out my podcast. It's called the Decibel Geek Podcast. We've been doing it for about 10 years now. We talk about Kiss. We talk about Ozzy. We talk about Motley Crue and Guns N' Roses and Metallica. We talk about all the legends from the 60s and on, up to brand new bands that you should be hearing about today that you're not going to hear on the radio. It's Decibel Geek. Wherever you find your podcasts, you'll find us there. If you love rock and roll, I can almost guarantee you're going to love my show.
This is the Big Picture, Michael Jablonski. Don't forget to tune in every week to Jablonski's Pissed Off on the Mike Jablonski's Pissed Off YouTube channel.
The Fox in this sport. He's going to tell you all about it. He doesn't care what you think. You're gonna hear all about it, Mike Jablonski.
It's a pissed off,
Mike Jablonski.
It's a pissed off,
Mike Jablonski.
It's a pissed off,
he pissed off.
Hey everyone, this is Shane from Insane Shane's World. I release wrestling figures of enhancement talent, mid-card wrestlers, and wrestlers that you never thought would have a figure available. So if you are interested in adding a really cool and rare figure to your collection, then don't hesitate to contact me at shamtheman73@gmail.com. That's shamtheman73@gmail.com. You can also join my Facebook group. Just search Insane Shane's World.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
I got a cat for your dome.
He got a cat for your dome.
For your dome. And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging. Don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still living in color. Plum rush your mother. Utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back
in the day, I was N-O-D, and I was P to the G, plus the 1 and the 3. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times, tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are, without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip-hopping. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while and you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from Obi-Wan or Vader. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
Like time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh, I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.